Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Blake Bedingfield. Time to chat with him about the Titans and Ravens matchup a little bit later this week. Just like last week, we'll preview the Titans and Chiefs for the AFC Championship game. Blake Bedingfield, presented by Ramjack of Middle Tennessee. If you think your home might have a foundation problem, don't make things worse by putting it off. Your home is your most valuable investment. Call Ramjack, 615-726-1504. Or visit RamjackMiddleTennessee.com to learn more. Blake on the road today. Blake, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great to hear from you. What was the most surprising aspect of the Titans' win over the Ravens to you?
You know, I guess I need to quit being surprised by this. But when you look at the final numbers and you look at the lack of passing yards for the Titans and the amount of runs that they are able to put up in a game, whether it's 30 rushes by Derrick Henry this week, the amount of yards that continue to pile up during games. But those are really eye-opening stats. If you can throw for under 100 yards, rush the ball consistently the way they're running the ball, it just amazes me each and every week that's happening, and especially against good defenses.
Clearly, the offensive line play was different early this year as opposed to now, where they're really clicking. Who's the most improved guy from start of the season to now on that offensive line?
You know, I think, and I say this, Taylor Lewan has really improved, and Taylor's had the elite ability from the time he entered in the league. But, you know, the way he's really improved his game, really after his suspension, he struggled for a couple of weeks and didn't play up to his capabilities. He's improved significantly. Now, Saffold from the beginning of the year really struggled in pass protection, was much better as a run blocker, and the two together have really formed a tough duo on the left side of the offensive line. I mean, Saffold has just really been outstanding, getting to the second level of the defense, walling off linebackers, punishing those defenders, creating huge gaps. Taylor has always been able to do that with his athleticism. He's been able to get out on the edge of the defense, get out on a safety or a corner, and be able to maintain his balance and body control in space and make a block. With Saffold, that's really been a tough duo on that left side. And I'll say this, and I'll add one other player along the running game with the offensive line is Michael Pruitt. He's really been good these last few weeks, especially in the playoffs, being that sixth offensive lineman, being that tight end on the line that's doing a really good job in the run game.
Did the Titans, Blake, you think, do what everybody wanted or went into a Ravens game trying to do against their offense, or did they bring something different?
You know, I thought they brought what they wanted to bring. And what I mean by that is they were able to force the Ravens into doing what they wanted to do, and on offense, it all starts with the Titans' offense being able to score points early in games, and then putting the pressure on the opposing team's offense to start to create and match scores. It would be a different scenario if the Titans went down by a number of scores in the first half, but right now they're being able to. They're opportunistic on defense with a pick by Kevin Byer. They had the big stop on fourth down that created another, really a turnover on downs that put the ball into their hands. And with the big pass by Ryan Tannehill to Khalif Raymond, that really put the Ravens in a situation they're not accustomed to being in.
Blake Bedingfield, our guest. Blake, the Ravens, 17 of 24 on fourth down conversions and attempts this season. And a big reason for that are the options that they have within their offense to get those short yardage gains. So Why were they content with just trying to cram it right up the middle of the Titans' defense?
You know, I'm amazed by that, and it's not only the Ravens, but the New England Patriots, and you go back to the Chargers, and other teams want to run up the middle on the Titans, and that really hasn't had success. The three defensive tackles are penetrators. They're penetrating, whether they penetrate a gap or penetrate underneath the offensive line. They're excellent at getting off the ball and off the snap. Very rarely are they drawn off sides on a penalty. The quarterbacks haven't really put them in that situation either, but they're really disciplined in the way they're able to jump off the snap and penetrate into the backfield. The linebackers that they have, whether it's David Long or Rashawn Evans, they're gap jumpers, and they're going to run the alleys inside those gaps and create that crease, which they did on a number of occasions in this game, but also in other games. And it's really had a lot of success. The amazing thing is that offensive coordinators, head coaches, are watching the film of past games and continue to say in their own mind that they can get that yardage up the middle. It just hasn't been successful. I thought the Carolina Panthers had the best approach to that Titans defensive front when they went and rolled the quarterback out, created a run-pass option with a quarterback. There was one play to Christian McCaffrey for a two-point conversion, another outside rollout by the quarterback, getting outside the space. The Titans want to jam up the middle, and they do it very well. So it's amazing that they can watch all these games in the past and still do the same thing.
Is A.J. Brown being shut down? I know they haven't thrown, so I guess it's a tough question to answer, but do you see him open against Humphreys and gang for the Ravens? Do we now say that great secondaries, Lattimore and Gilmore, and now this group do a significantly better job against him, and that's a hole? Or off of these games where they're throwing, completing only seven passes, do we not have any evidence?
You know, it's harder to tell with the lack of opportunities that they even have, really dropping back throwing balls. You know, AJ has had some separation in this game, in this past game versus the Ravens. I thought he was able to create some open opportunities. The thing with the quarterback was he was able to just pick and choose his spots. The offense was obviously designed to run the football throughout the game, but I thought what was a smart game approach, the best players on the Ravens defense is their back four, whether it's Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, and Earl Thomas, their defensive backs. That's the approach. That's the group you don't want to attack in this game. Go ahead and attack the front seven, which you had more success doing, and continue to run with your best player, which was Derrick Henry. But I thought AJ had success getting open, getting separation. There were just times that Tannehill didn't find him or looked in other directions.
Clearly, the Titans defensively had a great game plan to contain Lamar Jackson, even though he put up a ton of yards, but not giving up a lot of points and not letting him completely kill them. What did you make of Lamar Jackson's performance in terms of what the Titans were giving him and offering up? How good of a job did he do with that?
You know, he's such a dynamic athlete, and he can create space when there is none. And what I mean by that is he can create a movement or a make-you-miss ability from a defender and be able to create space when there really isn't any. But I thought what the Titans really did a good job of is on a number of occasions when Lamar dropped back the pass, they would have three rushers, designated rushers, drop eight into coverage and force the throws outside the numbers. That is where Lamar Jackson is at his weakest, is throwing outside the numbers. He's still a player that doesn't have really good passing mechanics. He's very lazy with his feet. A lot of really good athletes are. He doesn't get his hips around, shoulders around to make those throws outside the numbers, especially versus tight coverage. Now, the Titans were playing a lot of off-man or zone coverage, and then they were hugging up the receivers as they got downfield. Once the pass rush started to get there, they jumped on the receivers and closed those angles to the passes really tightly. And so not only were Lamar having to throw passes that he's not comfortable throwing outside the numbers, but it was contested throws as well. A couple of times he put it right in there. The receivers had some drops, and had some opportunities to make some big plays for him. They didn't, but you know, he is really a good athlete. He's still got a ways to go in his passing game, in the entire passing package that he has. He put up good numbers at the end of the day when you look at it, but there were some throws and plays left on the field that he wasn't able to complete. But I thought the Titans' game plan for that was excellent. Take away the middle of the field, make him throw outside the numbers.
A lot more to come with Blake Bedingfield, our scout. He is presented by RamjackMiddleTennessee.com.
The Tennessee Titans are headed to the AFC Championship game. And 104.5, The Zone has you covered.
Henry to Corey Davis.
Tune in all week for interviews and in-depth analysis as the Titans look to claim a spot in Super Bowl 54.
The Titans get it done. Again.
Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and the Titans look to take down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at Arrowhead this Sunday. And the only place to hear it is right here. 104.5, The Zone.
Blake Bedingfield, our guest. Midday 180 on 104.5, The Zone. Blake, we saw where Bill Belichick chose not to load the box on multiple carries against Derrick Henry, and that was not the case this week against Wink Martindale's defense and what Baltimore tried to do. Still didn't matter. Why do the Titans have so much success against the loaded box, and what are teams trying to do to counter what the Titans are doing up front?
You know, especially the last 2 weeks, you're playing teams that really don't have the gap penetrators. You're having more the two-gap type style where they're taking on a blocker, trying to control both sides of the block, both gaps, and take away that. The problem doing that versus this offensive line is this offensive line has really improved working as a cohesive group of five. And a six, when a Pruitt is on the line as a tight end, and that's a credit to the offensive line coaches, Keith Carter, Mike Sullivan. Those guys have done a really good job of getting this group to work together. And I think that's been very important. If what you see is off the initial snap of the ball, you're seeing an instant 1 yard gain on most run plays. What I mean by that is the offensive line is getting off the snap and creating a 1 yard in the plus category of the Titans run game before Derrick Henry even gets the ball. And that's a big plus for an offense. If you control the line of scrimmage, eliminate penetration, eliminate those gaps where Derrick Henry has to change his running path, change his running lane. The Colts, teams like the Colts with their defensive line that are more in the slanting and the pinching, have a lot more success versus this offensive line than the old two-gap style. And they've been taking advantage of that group, and it's really been successful the last 2 weeks.
Last regular season game, Titans were without Jayon Brown, Jarrell Casey, Corey Davis. Chiefs were without Fuller, Fisher, DeVarnay, Tardiff. And I think they lost another offensive lineman during the game along the way. They were shuffling on the offensive line. That amount to about a wash to you in terms of people both teams were without in that first game?
Yeah, I think so. You know, the Chiefs were without their left tackle, Fisher as well. And you know, I think that was a loss, obviously, in that game. But yeah, because Jarrell Casey's playing at a very high level. He's one of those, and I say unsung heroes in the past four or five games that really he's playing at his Pro Bowl level again. He's making impact plays. Not having him versus the Kansas City in the first game is a big loss because his ability to win one-on-one blocks. And I think that's going to be important going into this game versus a Pat Mahomes. Jarrell is playing at that high level again, making plays on critical downs, and that's going to be a big plus for the Titans moving forward. I think for the Chiefs, they've got to get Chris Jones back. They've got to get the defensive lineman. He had two sacks in the first matchup that they had, and he's a tough block one-on-one, and he can be disruptive in the run and pass game. But I think what you're taking from the inactive list and the first one, I think that, yeah, it's pretty much a wash because when you're losing a starting wide receiver, linebacker, and defensive tackle versus, you know, a left tackle, a guard, and, you know, they didn't have Shady McCoy in the first game either, even though he's not used as much anymore.
David Long made for a game like the Baltimore game, played in games with all of that space to cover in college. How might it be different against Kansas City if he's called on again to take a lot of Jayon Brown snaps?
You know, he's done a nice job versus the run. He's really a feed ball, go get ball type player, and he uses his instincts to play the game, and that's not a bad thing. At times, he'll misread a run play or jump up on a play action and kind of get out of position, but that's part of more of his lack of experience than really his inability to make the play. He's got that feistiness approach that you like. But in this game, I think it's going to be a little bit different. He's going to have to be a little bit more sound in his ability and his drop zone drops. He and Rashawn Evans both. That's one of the, if you say a weakness in Rashawn Evans' game, it's definitely in coverage. When you're playing against a Travis Kelce, he's going to find those spots in the zone to sit and open up. And they're going to have to pay a ton of attention to him, but they're also going to have to pay a ton of attention to other receivers as well. It's just not a one-man show on that offensive side. So I think David Long's going to have to be real sound in his techniques, especially in coverage, and be able to play with his quickness and speed if Mahomes does take off with a run or they do run the ball.
Blake, how did they decide to deploy Amani Hooker and Dane Cruikshank within the defense against Baltimore?
You know, I thought it was a neat approach the way they had each one of those play. I thought, you know, they didn't really put them in situations where it was really going to have to take on a dynamic offensive player one-on-one, but they were able to use, especially Hooker, Cruikshank a few times, but Hooker in that eight-man drop. And what they were doing is they were dropping into this soft zone and really attacking and swarming to the ball once it was in the air, just adding more speed and athleticism on the field. And I thought that really played out into their hands. They did a really good job of playing contain on the edges versus Lamar Jackson and then swarming to the ball with multiple defenders once the ball was caught. Just a number of times, Kevin Byard was real active in the game as well, and I thought he had a really nice game.
And Kamale Correa showed up multiple times for me in watching the defensive effort, trying to make sure that Lamar Jackson was going laterally. I thought he played one of his best games I've watched him play.
You know, he did a really good job of containing that edge and spilling the Jackson runs back inside. He did it with Ingram as well, allowing, containing that edge, forcing the quarterback to jump back inside, where, again, that swarm of the defense was coming toward the quarterback. On a number of occasions, you see Lamar Jackson. Once he decides to run, he's going to run. He's so tough one-on-one in a matchup in the hole. That's why those extra defenders were so important to really gang up and bring him down.
We talked offensive line improvement earlier in this segment. Let's talk defensive line improvement. Jarrell Casey obviously was terrific in this game, but overall, as a unit, how much better have they gotten? How much better did they get when Jeffrey Simmons started playing?
You know, I think it adds that three-man approach. Early in the season when they didn't have Simmons, they were running more of a two defensive linemen and two really stand-up outside linebackers as their four-man front. And since they brought Simmons back, they're running a lot more three-man defensive line with a stand-up outside linebacker on the outside. So, you know, what it's added is a lot more power and stoutness and anchor on the inside, but also in allowing with Simmons and Casey to be able to really penetrate in the backfield. Whether they're making a play, they're creating havoc, pressure, hurries, and the opportunity, especially in the run games, to, like I said, change the running back's path from the initial direction he wanted to go.
Blake, hypothetically, if Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence were both draft eligible this draft, who goes first?
Trevor Lawrence is going to go first. You know, I know one game doesn't. Trevor Lawrence had a poor game last night. He looked bad. He overthrew multiple balls. He didn't look settled. He looked to drive the ball downfield. I think part of it was what they were asking their receivers to do. There were very few crossing routes, which Clemson has fed off crossing routes all year long. Very few of those short crossers, and allowing the speed of the receivers to do something after the catch. So I thought the game plan was interesting as well. which LSU did a lot of that. You know, the one of the keys that I thought coming back in the first after the first couple of drives where LSU was down, you looked at the LSU really got the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands, allowed him to have some confidence early, get the ball into these playmakers' hands, take advantage of the one-on-one coverage. One of the things Clemson didn't do was adjust to that man-to-man coverage on the outside versus their number one receiver. So he had a lot of success. Trevor Lawrence was really driving balls 13, 14, 15 yards down the field and outside the numbers, which he had a really poor game, but I would take Trevor Lawrence.
Blake Bedingfield joins us each week, and this week, like last week on the road, he'll join us on Thursday, and we will go with an in-depth scouting report on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Too much for one visit.
That's right.
Too much.
We could go another segment, Blake, if you really want. We've got more to get to, so we'll hit it on Thursday.
Look forward to it.
I look forward to it.